I turned 10 on Easter Sunday, 1984, and one of my uncles asked my cousin to sing a song for everyone. And I stood there watching her, and I really felt like no one's asking me to sing. And my dad doesn't see that. That's probably one of the reasons as a kid I didn't feel seen. You're not my therapist, but like in the last half an hour, it feels like a lifetime of holding myself back has been unlocked.
You're not a consumer of love. You're a producer of love. You're where love comes from. You don't need anybody's love. You just bless them with love. And then you feel the love yourself.
That's beautiful.
I call them mind bugs. Once you spot them and you realize, oh shit, that's the lens. Like now you see it. It's still going to be there, but then it'll never come back the same way. You'll be able to catch it way sooner. And then as you start catching it sooner, it just stops activating.
I love it. My mind's blown.
Welcome to the show, to Recode Your Mind with Calvin Corelli. I've got with me today, Aydin Nihriada. Like, phenomenal to meet you. I just checked your site before this. I love what you're doing with voice coaching and like really connecting the inner voice piece, the inner work piece to being able to express ourselves outwardly, whether it's through speaking or singing or anything really. Mm-hmm. So I'm in awe of what you're doing there. So yeah, so glad to have you here. And tell me and the audience here just briefly about where you're at, and then what's the challenge that you're facing in your business? Where are you at? Where would you like to be? What's the challenge that you're facing right now?
Well, thank you everyone for listening, by the way. I feel like I'm at a really good place in that I have kind of come back to my USP after having a few years of self-doubt about it. You know, when you do something with singing, and a lot of people don't necessarily think that has a lot of value. They see it as a hobby. I see it as a tool for self-empowerment and growth and, you know, for deep transformational work. And I know a lot of singing teachers, even the regular singing teachers who teach, you know, kids, they know that it's a life coaching thing. They know that they're going to go deep with their students. But because I was having trouble selling that idea, my audience maybe was not big enough, or I wasn't really in the right places, I started to take almost singing out of my marketing. And I feel much stronger today because I've realized that is my USP. And that's the thing that actually gives me the most joy, and that makes me interesting. So I've started to introduce myself as Aydin Nihriada, intuitive voice coach and singer, because I'm a singer myself and I would like to do more with my own singing. So that feels powerful because I have clarity. So thankfully that peace has fallen in, and I've been working at this for 10 years. And so the inevitable frustrations of not moving or expanding, or as they say in the business word, scaling, which to me is a very scary word, you know, because it sounds so businessy. And I am feeling very ready to make big changes because I have definite clarity, and I feel ready to be more visible. You know, because half the problem sometimes is just that, well, I'd be a bit afraid that so-and-so would know that I'm doing this singing thing. And here's an interesting thing from the mindset perspective. I realized about 2 years ago, because I also teach mantra, which is using your voice for a spiritual connection. So that's kind of a sideline. And I remember thinking about it a year or two ago, and I realized that my mind was basically asking myself if my dad would approve of that. Mm-hmm. My mind was blown when I started to realize this. So I probably for my whole life have been unconsciously imagining what dad's response is going to be for all these things. And he just doesn't get it. Like, he doesn't get my business. He's never going to get it. He wanted me to be a teacher or work in marketing. And I am a teacher and I do a lot of marketing, but I just do it for myself. So that's where I'm at. I'm feeling this.
That's amazing.
Yeah, there's an excitement because I feel more ready. Mm-hmm. And there's a lot to do, and there's a lot that I can't do on my own. So probably my next thing is, how do I get the right people on board to do what I want to do next?
Yeah. All right. Beautiful. I'm excited to see what we can do to get you to truly expand, not fucking scale. Screw that.
Just
expand. Yeah. I love that. So yeah, there's some definitely some things that I heard there. So this reminds me, like when I worked with my first spiritual teacher. This was back in 2007, and his name is Bodhi. He's actually on Simplero today, which is awesome. And he's close with Eckhart Tolle, kind of that thing. But one of the things he had me do was create this and the altar of opinion. And it was like an actual altar with photos of all the people whose opinions I cared about. Yeah,
Genius.
it's such a cool thing, because then I could just like go to that altar and bow down to the altar of opinion, all these people whose opinion I care about, and just see the ridiculousness in it, right?
Yeah.
Like, why the fuck do I care about these people's opinions? But
Yeah,
yeah.
I you know what it the real reason is we want people to care about us and love us, and we want belonging. Like it is a primal need to
Totally.
have people like us, but people can like us and not approve of every decision we make, and people can like us and still not get it. So we have to see the nuance there.
Totally. And whose love and approval are you really looking for?
It's interesting because since that my dad is kind of, I mean, he will always be there. He will, you know. There's no chance that I'm not going to want my dad to somehow approve. I'm not sure if I'm looking for a specific person's love and approval now. I really feel like I am giving myself, I'm allowing myself to appreciate my own uniqueness. When I realized one day that, you know, I love singing, but my family don't care if I sing. Like, they care if I'm happy. And if I can convince them that singing is my way to be happy, they will care about my singing. But, you know, people don't get it. They don't see in our hearts, they don't see in our heads.
What do
So
you
I,
care if they care that you're singing?
well, yeah, it's nice when people who you care about come to your gigs and all of that
I
kind of
get
thing.
it.
You
No, I get
know,
it. I
yeah.
get it. I get it on that level. And so what I'm getting at is just and you kind of got it, which is like the person whose love and approval you're ultimately seeking is your own.
Yeah, for
Right.
sure. Yeah.
And when
And
that's
in,
there,
yeah.
when that's truly there, like, and this is the pattern that we all do, is we tend to outsource that. Like, we want other people to do it for us because we're not fully willing to do it for ourselves.
Yes. Yes. And to be willing to experience the pain of someone not getting it. Because that can be a bit of a heartache, you know, when you tell someone that exciting new thing you're doing and they go, okay, what, you know, or so
Totally.
it's okay so long as I'm fully invested and I basically am expressing who I truly am, which is
Yeah.
the kind of work I do with my clients as well.
Exactly. Yeah. And it's like recognizing that I learned this, like Gay Hendricks has this, he said it so beautifully to me years ago. He's like, realizing you're not a consumer of love, you're a producer of love.
That's beautiful.
You're where love comes from. You don't need anybody's love. You just bless them with love, and then you feel the love yourself.
That makes my heart glow. I love Gay Hendricks's work. I've read many of the books and The Big Leap. Very relevant to this conversation because he talks about finding that thing that really lights you up, and all the other things that don't light you up somehow have to be filtered out or done by someone else. And yeah, I love that. That's a really beautiful perspective.
You truly don't need love from anybody, because I mean, this is what we all do. We go around seeking love from other people who themselves feel like they don't have any love to give because they're seeking love, and then like the world just goes around all everybody like looking for something from other people who don't have it to give.
Yeah, no, would challenge it on one aspect because I feel like we all need someone in our corner. You know, it doesn't have to be, maybe my dad doesn't have to be that person. I mean, I have one or two people. I sometimes even recognizing those people who are in your corner can be difficult. And we can underestimate them. We can underestimate their importance in our lives. I recently just signed up to do more do some kind of one-to-one work with a teacher of mine, a meditation. She was my meditation teacher. She's the reason why I have a business, because she gave me a grounded foundation that helped me build. And I'm going back to her for one-to-one sessions because I haven't really been in touch with her for years. And she challenges me and she doesn't always get it. I remember when I told her I wanted to do something with singing, and she said, "Well, you've got to do what works." Dagger to the heart. But I was like, it's got to work, right? Because it means so much to me. It's work, and it has worked many years in that 10-year period. It has worked beautifully. It just can't work. I can't do the version of it I used to do. Like, it just has to evolve from here. So yeah, knowing who's in your corner is good as well. But yeah, you
I
have to.
totally I completely agree, and I like it feels so good when you have someone in your corner. And the magic is that the more you're in your corner, the more that just happens organically. Right. I remember, so I had this thing too with my dad, where I really wanted him to see the spiritual side in me, the spirituality in me, at the heart, the emotional side of me. I just so wanted him to see and acknowledge that, not just the programmer, not thus just the brainy guy, right? And he just never did. And I desired that so much that I married a woman who was just like my dad and who never had the capacity to see that side of me. And I kept playing that out of like seeking her approval, seeking her approval, seeking her approval. And it just never happened. And she didn't have it. And it was supremely painful to go through that. And like when I finally realized, holy shit, the only like we were together for 14 years and really struggling for a lot of that time and in a lot of counseling and all of that. And when I finally realized, the only reason I'm still in this relationship is because I'm craving this from her. This like the same thing I'm craving from my dad, I'm craving from her. I'm like, this is not good. This is
You
not
know, I think
sustainable.
we hide ourselves in different ways. Like I worked for Japan Airlines for 5 years. I was a cabin crew attendant, and I didn't do any singing. And no one who knew me then knew that I sang, except for karaoke night in Tokyo or something. It was fun. But I realized that I wasn't expressing myself, so they couldn't get to know that part of me. And the more you express that truth of yourself, the more you do attract. Like you say, you know, when you're in your own corner, others will, they'll flock to that corner because they want to support it.
So I want to share one more quick story, and then I have a question for you. So for me, a breakthrough moment with my dad was one night he sat down with me, and we were getting drunk on red wine and port wine or whatever in his apartment. And then he said, "Look, son, I don't think I ever understood you. And I'm not sure I really liked you, but I feel like I'm starting to get you, to see you, and I really like who you are." And it was like maybe like 6 or 8 years ago, and it was such a beautiful moment, because it was like that. This is how it always felt to me growing up, that he didn't really know if he loved me, but he said it, but he didn't know. I didn't feel like he meant it. It certainly didn't feel like he saw me, and just but being with the reality of that felt so healing.
So good. And you know, my dad, I recently said to my dad, look, I've been working in my business for so long. I want to record an album and I want to do more performing. And he hasn't been that supportive. He used to say to me, "You can't make money in music," like, which was like another dagger, another thing to overcome. But when he recently, one of the first things he said to me in a conversation on the phone was, "How's your singing going?" And that was like the best feeling, just to have him ask that question. And my mom did something for me quite a number of years earlier. She gave me a mug, you know, for a cup of coffee that said, "I'd rather be making music." And it's funny, like they're not telling me every day, "Aideen, how's your singing going?" But like those one or two moments, just a little bit of recognition is enough. And there's plenty of other people that maybe see that more. But the most important thing, like I think you're saying, you have to see yourself. And that takes a certain amount of self-reflection, self-awareness, And some self-love, you know, I don't, sometimes we're looking so outside of ourselves that we don't get to experience this, you know, you're the one who gets to be you. You know, you are unique and no one else understands the whole package of you because they can't. They're only seeing snippets, but you live in you, so you get to be you. So there's something beautiful about that being your starting point, what you're saying. That you give the love to you, you're the source of that love. And I think that love is a creative force, and there's something good can come of that too.
All good can come up with that. Yeah, exactly. And it really, like, who you are at the core is love. Who you are is love. Right? So you're saying it requires some self-love or a little self, well, it just requires you to be who you are, because who you are is love. All the not love is not you, right? So it's like most people think of like loving themselves as something is like an act, is something you have to do, but really what you have to do is stop the thing that's not loving yourself.
Which is self-criticism,
Yeah.
a lot of that, I think, self-appreciation to see yourself and to accept when other people see you. Like when someone says, oh, you're such a kind person, you need to see that. I wrote a whole book about that, Calvin. This little guy back here is called Discover Your True Value. And it's a simple little self-help book, but it's based on this journey that I was on where someone said to me one day, you're a kind person. And I was like, really? Am I? I don't even know that about myself. So accepting a compliment is a great step. Appreciating your own talents and skills and your own uniqueness and your own specialness. And I know a lot of people who are using, you know, you're using Simplero and who are running small businesses. They're doing it and they don't get acknowledgement or they don't get appreciation from everybody they would like to get appreciation from. But we have to start giving it to ourselves for sure.
You're right on. So let me ask you this. When did you learn that singing wasn't valuable?
Okay, well, I'm going back to an origin story now, Calvin. It wasn't so much the singing wasn't valuable, but it comes back to a family occasion. I turned 10 on Easter Sunday, 1984, right? And happened to be a family get together. All my dad's brothers and all my cousins came together and had a meal. It was like a huge birthday party for me, even though that's how I saw it. And one of my uncles, Uncle Brian, asked my cousin Elaine to sing a song for everyone. And they'd obviously practiced it, or he had been encouraging her to sing at home or whatever it was. And she sang Somewhere Over a Rainbow. She was very embarrassed and didn't really kind of want to do it. But I stood there watching her and I really felt like no one's asking me to sing. And my dad doesn't see that, you know, and I sang a lot in choirs with my mom and I did a solo for my confirmation, you know, for the Catholic, sacrament. And I'd done a lot with my singing. So that's probably one of the reasons for, as a kid, I didn't feel seen. For that, see the thing about singing, and some of your listeners might recognize this. When we're kids and we sing, and we feel the joy of it, and we feel the joy of allowing our voices out, there's a kind of a freedom. And to me, I would connect with myself deeper singing than speaking. I felt more me. I felt it was like a part of my soul that was being revealed. So there's always been a part of me that craved my dad's attention and that would have liked to have been seen more for that, from that with my dad, I guess. So that's probably where it started. Because my mom always encouraged me to sing, but that was more for, you know, for religious purposes. It's been a beautiful self exploration and discovery, helping to find, because what happened was when I was 28, someone said to me, what's your dream? And I said, well, I want to be a singer, but I can't do that. So that was another 10, 15 year journey just to address that mindset that I had, basically, because my dad said you can't make money in music. But like, we're going through all the different stages now. I see myself as a singer now. I see my secret singers, my adult hobby singers, as singers. I don't think we have to identify with Celine Dion to feel like we're a singer, or
well, she can't sing right now, so
yeah, exactly. You know, like, whether you, if you can sing at all to your cat, to your dog in the car, you're a singer. Don't worry about that. And I think it is a source of, if I bring myself back there, I can still feel that, you know. So yeah, but thankfully, so I've moved on a lot.
Yeah, and the reason I'm picking up on it is because, like, there's something there, right? Where there's like a young version of Aideen, maybe she's 10, maybe she's even younger, that still has this thing, whether it's my voice is not valued or my singing is not valued, I'm not sure.
Yeah.
But I clearly hear that thread that you don't value singing, and you feel like it's something, it sounds like you almost feel like it's a burden that people have to listen to or approve of. You're like, it's like you have to compensate for it. Like, well, I have to do all these things and then I get to sing, and like, it's not so bad. It's okay. Like,
yeah. Oh, there's something to that. I can feel it. Like, I can feel the discomfort in me of going, what do I have to look at this as an idea now?
Yeah. So how old is she?
Who?
You just to say a number. That version of you. That version of you.
Maybe 30. Maybe it's around that time when I was saying I want to be a singer, but I can't do that.
Yeah, I would go earlier.
Yeah, I mean, there's so many. It's all part of who I am right now. It's like all the versions of me.
I get it.
Yeah. You know.
Yeah.
So like, it's like for a long time when my dad said you can't make money in music, and then I was like, well, I'm going to do it anyway. And it's like you're doing it in spite of, right? Mm-hmm. It's not with that full freedom. Mm-hmm. But a kind of a feeling like, well, I'm going to do it anyway. But there's this little part of you is going, but I shouldn't, because I still believe my dad.
Mm-hmm.
And the part of me that missed my dad as a kid and didn't get to have a full, you know, we're great friends now. And I work with him and do great stuff and we have a laugh. And like, I feel closer to him than ever before. But there was a time when that went in, and I don't know, does it ever come out completely? But it's not stopping me from moving forward. Mm-hmm. It's a functional problem I have. It's still there, but it's not, hopefully it's not good. Yeah. But I think, yeah, this idea that, yeah, I have to prove myself first before I can allow myself to sing. I don't know, whatever, if you've got an insight to help me with this, I will definitely take it on board.
Yeah. So what I'm getting is that there's a young Aideen. I don't know how old she is exactly, but I would probably go like 5, 7-ish in that range, who somehow got the associated the meaning. Something happened. It could be the 10th birthday, but it could also be something that started earlier. And we don't need to know the exact moment or point. The point is just to go to that experience and connect with her.
Yeah.
Because when you can really get with her and kind of get her reality, not your today, Dean's, you know, intellectualized or understanding, but to like really get her reality.
Yeah.
Like, what was she going through? What was she experiencing? And what would have been an experience that would have made her feel seen and loved and heard and valued?
Yeah.
As a singer, as like this creative, expressive being that you inherently are.
Yeah. That's beautiful.
Yeah.
It's interesting because I did an audition for, there's a local orchestra, and they did an open audition for anyone local to come in, and just so that they would get to know the local artists. And as I was preparing for that morning, I stood in this little office and I was doing my warm-ups and stuff, and I said, look, I need to connect with that freedom. And I was like, okay, I took myself right back to childhood, I took myself right back to feeling like the free version before all the stuff happened. Maybe it was around 5 or 6 years old. And I stood here and I sang and I was like, wow. Because I started, you stand differently when you reconnect with a freer part of yourself that hasn't taken on stuff. And it worked. I did a really good audition, and I was happy with it. But yeah, I love that idea of reconnecting with to acknowledging more fully that that is the real me. That's the real me before I had anybody kind of interfere with that inner confidence and that inner freedom that I value in my clients as well, to bring them back to that feeling. Thank you.
Yeah, because that's the real approval, how I see that.
So much happens when we're kids. I was the oldest of five, and we had three of us all around the same age. There was just about a year and a half between my sister, and me and my brother. And so there's some. Yeah, it's interesting. You're bringing me right back now, Calvin. I was always the kind of kid that craved a little bit of attention and as someone to talk to. And interestingly, I didn't actually feel like my mother loved me for a long time because she's not a talker. And in actual fact, she has hearing problems as well. So I moved back in with her in my 40s after a kind of a low patch that I went through. And I started to understand that she did love me, but she wasn't able to give me she wasn't able to talk to me. Like I use words to filter my understanding of things often, although I'm trying to move beyond words. I think that there's experience beyond words as well, that's another stage. But yeah, I guess I felt a little disregarded as a kid. Like if I had a problem and I couldn't make a fuss about it, I couldn't, I couldn't cry or stamp my feet because I was the oldest and I shouldn't, because their younger kids were more important. So that's probably what it comes down to if we're looking at that age group with me. And
Very
I would
supportive.
experience kind of, being, ignored while I got over it, kind of thing, rather than soothed.
Beautiful. Wow. Sounds, I feel the, I don't know, the heaviness of that and the loneliness of that little girl. It's a lot to carry.
At a certain point, I started to call it negative reinforcement. We get positive reinforcement. We think that that's the best way to go, but my lessons in life have been about that self-trust and, understanding my own value. And I think this is, having this conversation and understanding how far back it goes, and thinking about that is really, it's hard, but it's useful. And so I'm here for her, I'm here for that little girl. I approve of her a lot. So, yeah. Thanks.
So do you see how, do you see how your this idea that you're less important is playing out in your life still?
Yes. Do you make all of your podcast guests cry, Calvin? Because,
Pretty
yeah.
much.
I need to start listening to your podcast more. This wasn't what I was expecting. I see that. That, yeah. Think I need to give her a big hug and remind her that she is important. She's
And that
very
she's
important to me, for
the
sure.
most important.
She's the most important to me, because that's the beauty, that's the freedom, and that heart that I feel when I sing is basically her. You know. Thank you.
You're doing beautiful. You're so.
Yeah.
Yeah. You see, it's not your father's approval you're looking for. It's not your husband's or anyone else's. It's her looking for your approval.
Yeah.
That's what it's about.
Yeah.
She's so precious.
Thank you.
Yeah. Sweet, beautiful, innocent, creative, joyful, expressive.
Yeah, too expressive for some people.
Bucket.
But yeah, very good. Yeah,
Yeah.
that's really sweet. You know, it's a sweetness, and what I'm realizing is that at that moment, whatever it was, when I felt like the others were more important than me and they in some way had to come first, has created this environment where I have been trying to prove myself first before allowing that part of myself to fully come forward and express herself. There is something that's significant.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Because the energy I'm getting is that to some extent, just you being you is a burden for people.
My parents are both quite introverted people, and I was the extroverted, you know, yeah. I've gotten a lot of positive feedback from people just in the last couple of weeks. And there's always a part of me feels kind of surprised, you know, to like it's interesting, right? Even this morning, I went to an in-person networking meeting and one lady there had been a client and she's like, I sang at a karaoke bar and someone yelled at me from across the street afterwards saying we loved your performance, right? And she tells this to everyone. And another client contacted me recently and said, thank you for encouraging me to offer a free workshop at the library because they just went for it and now we've got this relationship and it's going to move forward. And so there's a lot of I'm hearing a lot. I guess for me, I just need to receive that more because I've been hearing it at different points from different people, probably along the way. But my own that feeling, that starting point, that kind of origin point of as I just a burden that I've been carrying, that I'm the burden, right? So it'll be nice to let that go.
So is it true that you're a burden?
No.
No.
I'm like, did I put a question mark at the end of that? No. No. Was that an up inflection?
Right. Yeah.
Yeah. No, I don't always feel understood, and I work a lot with people who don't always feel understood. And but that I think we have reached like, different flavors in a recipe. And that doesn't mean we can't all go together. We're all part of something very rich and unique and I believe what Brené Brown says, is that the person you have to belong to is yourself. And to I feel like I've, created my own community of people who feel very accepted and loved by me, because that's my vibe now, is to create, is to make sure to allow people to be seen because
So
of
who's,
that own hurt within me.
yeah.
I understand that very deeply, that people just want to be seen.
So whose job is it to understand you?
Mine.
That's right.
Yeah.
It's nobody else's job. It really isn't anybody else's job. Not your dad, not your mom, not your husband, not me, not anybody. We can't fully understand you ever. It's impossible. We can do our best, and we're always doing our best. Right? Even in my life, look like we're all always doing our best to understand you.
That's enough for me.
Yeah. Whatever our capability in the moment is, that's what you're gonna get. Yeah.
That's beautiful. I kind of feel like I need to sit with that. So the people around me are always doing their best to understand me.
Yeah. And it's fundamentally not their job. Yeah.
That's like even people who work in sales, right? Or they work in anything, or if you're selling your business proposal or talking about your new hobby, it's we're always trying to explain something to people that they may have a limited understanding of, and sharing something, and that's it actually reinforces it in ourselves as well. Like for me to tell people about my singing, I wasn't expecting to talk about my singing on this episode or anything, but it's a great joy, and thank you for that. I feel like there's going to be like a fallout over the next 3 or 4 days where I'm just going to be acknowledging this feeling. Has it's been a filter I've looked through for my whole life, and it's affected the
Exactly.
kind of work that I've done, how much money I've expected to be paid, a lot of stuff, how I've promoted my business probably too, and how much I feel safe to expand my business, which was the thing that I want to do that I came with today.
Yeah.
So,
I love that you're getting it so quick. Yeah.
there's a
This
lot,
is ex
to unpack there.
Yeah. No, this is exactly why I do what I do, because I've been on this like personal development journey since 2003-ish. So what is that, 23 years now? And what I found is that what most people miss is this level where it's not like the negative self-talk or the limiting beliefs or like those things. It's really these like very core identity shards of identity that just, they're the eyes that we look at the world through. It's like, it's just who I am. It's not even a thought in my head. It's just like who I am is a burden. And now everything that happens, I see through that lens. Or the words, I'm not important. I'm less important than others. Like, and then everything just becomes seen through that lens. And then what tends to happen is that, like you exactly, you're saying, of course, that's going to affect the offers that you make and the marketing and the content and the result, like your ability to, receive money and hold on to money, or like all of these things, as well as your health and your relationships and all of that. And then most of the work that we end up doing, and I've done this for years, decades. It was only in the past 2 years that this really clicked for me. And it's like, it's all of this work that we're doing, all the self-help, all the personal development, all these things are coming from the part of us that feels like a burden or less important. And it becomes like compensation for that. And the more that we compensate for it, the more we reinforce that frame. So it just keeps us stuck. The faster we run, the more stuck we are, which is why I'm so obsessed with this. I call them mind bugs, these core things that are, in your case, I'm less than, I'm a burden. And like once you spot them and you realize, oh shit, that's the lens. Like now you see it. It's still going to be there, but then it'll never come back the same way. You'll be able to catch it way sooner. And then as you start catching it sooner, it just stops clicking. It stops activating eventually. And you just be like, hey, what even happened to that thing? I don't know. It's kind of gone. Right.
Yes, I love that. I love it. My mind's blown.
That's amazing.
Yeah. And it's funny because you live with you live with your limits, right? You can feel them, right? You're like, well, I probably could have done this or I could have done that and I didn't because whatever. I love what you're saying. A mind bug, that's an interesting phrase. I like that too. Yeah. It's like sometimes getting into a meeting or a room, say with someone like you, it's like having that mirror. It's like a wise mirror that looks back with that love, with acceptance and with like an open mind. And it's people who are a step ahead of you or 10 steps ahead of you, they can, if there's love and attention and respect there already, then you can really receive something very deep like this. I mean, you're not my therapist, but like in the last whatever half an hour, it feels like a lifetime of holding myself back has been, unlocked. And at least now I know that I had my as I've been listening to some guy, he keeps saying, everyone's got their foot on the brakes, like I've had my foot on the brakes a bit. I'm bringing it back to that one of my core values, which is self-love, self-acceptance, and just reinforcing that in me and seeing this one thing. So I really appreciate it. I feel like I need a few days to let it sink
Absolutely.
in, but it's very,
Absolutely.
very, this is a gem. This is a beautiful gift you've given me. Thank you.
My pleasure. It's such a joy to witness. It's so beautiful. I want to share a story that's going to bring this full circle. It's really funny. So, I'm a software developer, right? And I have a software business, I have a coaching business, but my first career dream was I wanted to be a jazz pianist.
Awesome.
So, yeah. And so I pursued that for some years, and then I realized like life as a jazz pianist kind of sucks. So I had this other passion for coding, so I did that more. It's like still keyboard, just a different type of keyboard and doing different things.
Yeah.
And then in 2014, by the way, when you said you were born in 74 and your birthday is around Easter, so when is your
Yeah.
birthday? If
The
you don't mind sharing,
22nd of April.
of April. Okay, great. Mine is March 27, same year. So we're very
Okay.
close in age. Yeah. Anyway, so when I was in 2014, I went to Burning Man. Have you heard of Burning Man?
Yes, I have.
Have you been?
No.
No. It was the only time I've ever gone. But I was one night I was out in Deep Playa, as they call it, and it's just bumbling around. And there was this tent. I got come into the tent. And then it's 2014, like LEDs everywhere. It's a new thing.
Yeah.
There's these like LEDs in this inside this tent that were responsive to sound. And so people were like clap and they'd see it change and then clap, clap, and they'd see it change. And then this one guy starts singing a cappella. He's like, what would you do without? What would I do without your smart mouth? Drawing me in and then kicking me out. I was like, this room went silent. And he was just singing the entire song, top to bottom. And I could just feel the energy in the room. And I could feel all the women in the room just being like, oh, wow. Like, I was like, the expression, not a paint is dry here. And then,
Yeah.
And I was like, I could just feel, I just wanted to strangle that guy. I'm like, motherfucker, I'll strangle you guy. But then I was like, oh, maybe this is, I actually want to be that guy. Maybe I'm just like envious. I want to do this. But I'm not a singer. I remember as a kid, I had this experience where I had pianos, play piano, and then one day I was sitting at the piano playing, singing, and I thought I was alone in the house. And then my mom comes up from the basement. She's been down there doing laundry, and it was like the most embarrassing moment in my life. I was like, oh shit, you heard me sing. So awful. I remember one day I was like, one of my favorite songs was love, no, don't come easy to me. How can I find a words? Is it find a way to make you see? Yeah, I was like, maybe I love that song so much, and I just felt like me. It's like, I can't express my love.
That's
And
so
so I
cool.
recorded myself on this like cheap like microphone on a cassette tape, and I heard it back, and I was just like, this sounds so terrible. And so I vowed never to sing again. And then later on, as a young adult, I was part of a band and playing the piano. And then he was like, hey, can you be part of like, we need like three vocals for a backing here. Can you be part of that? And then I was like, yeah, totally. And then he was like, yeah, you stick with the piano. And it was so embarrassing. So 2014 rolls around. I go to Burning Man, and then I'm like, okay, I'm gonna find a fucking vocal teacher. Like, even just for self-expression. Actually, a few years before, speaking about like using the voice for healing, I lived in India for a year. And while I was there, I started singing just for myself. And there was, I'd sing some Billy Joel songs. And then in the middle, I'd get to a certain line, I'd just start crying. I just break down fucking crying. And then I
Wow.
just start from the top, same place, start crying. Start from the top, and I just kept doing it and just like letting it all fucking, flow and just cry and cry and cry till I was able to sing it and, feel, but not, I could make it through. It was
Yeah.
such a cathartic experience. But then 2014, I go to a vocal teacher. Her name is Lorraine. She's awesome. And I'm like, yeah, my voice is really terrible. My story was my voice is so awful, it's like raping people's ear canals. That was the story of my fucking head. So I go to her and I'm like, yeah, I have a terrible voice. I can't hold a pitch. I'm like, I'm not going to do anything with this, but like, I just want to sing. I think it'll be good for me to sing. It's like, great. And so sing a couple songs and then she launches into this 10-minute tirade. And I have it, the whole thing in recording. She's like, Calvin, you're a singer. You're a singer. I've never met anyone who came in and had such a low opinion of themselves. And like, you have a great fucking voice. Your pitch is fantastic. Like, there's a few things that are just because you're not trained that will be easy to fix. And like, you're amazing. And so that started me on singing. And then and then she got me into, she's like, you can write songs. You can produce. I didn't know anything about this shit. And so I
Yeah.
went in on this whole journey. And so writing,
Awesome.
producing, all of it. And it's been such a bliss. And now, then I started having this vision of like, what if I did, I've always wanted to be a speaker also, speak from stage. What if I combined it? Right? I
Yes.
go to these kind of conferences and there's lots of speakers and it's fine. But what if there's like a mix where you sing a song and tell the story of it, and then you talk, and then you sing another song. Like, that could be pretty cool. So I had that vision maybe like 8 years ago or something. Then I thought I was the only person in the world who thought of this. Well, then last year I met this guy Roland who lives in Lithuania, and turns out like that he does this and he helps other people with this. And I was like, oh, cool, it's a thing. And then Thursday last week, I decided to do an event at my house. Last night, I had the event last night, and I was like, "Ah, well, maybe get five people, team up with my guy Miro to bring to get people to the event." All of a sudden, we got like 25 people RSVP'd and a wait list. Like, you just out of nowhere. I expected five people. We have the capacity for like maybe 15 or something, but we ended up like, "Fuck it, like let's go 20." Ah, screw it, let's go 25. So 25 people here last night. Then So that was Thursday last week that we decided to do that with like, he was like, this a week is way too short notice. I'm like, fuck it, let's just do it. We'll see what happens. Friday, I meet with this guy, Tiamo, who's also on Sombrero, that I had met at an event in San Diego 6 8 weeks ago. And what he does is he teaches people and coaches people on what he calls a keynote concert, which is
Wonderful.
exactly this thing. And so I meet with him Friday and he tells me more about it. And I'm like, fuck it, let me turn this event Thursday into a keynote concert. So last night, I did my first ever keynote concert and it was fucking awesome.
That is amazing. That makes me feel so happy. Good job. It's like, why not? Why not?
Yeah, exactly. And what I saw, because I have the same as you, like me singing is kind of a burden and it's also, all that shit. But seeing what a fucking gift it is to do that, to put yourself out there and expose yourself in that way, be vulnerable in that way.
Yeah, but it's there's something specific about songs. Like I coach people through the healing process of songs. I would see that very clearly. But when we sing a song from the heart and it means something to us, there's a wisdom that's coming through. There's an understanding. It's like a teaching. Or it can be something that you're just saying to people, I get this too. We are all in this together. And you know, when you sing for like 2 or 3 minutes in one go, it's like you have to be the boss of that room. You have to say, this is important enough for me to ask for your attention for 3 whole minutes and you just be quiet, right? And people love when someone has the courage to do that, like even if they do badly, people will love that you had the courage to do that. And I believe that your version of any song has so much value and is so unique. And I would prefer to listen to your version because I know you and I, you know, like you and I, you know, want to be pals with you than listen to the original version by whatever singer on a tape deck or a CD player. Being in the same room with someone expressing themselves to me is a beautiful thing. I love going to live concerts way more than listening to music at home. So yeah, be very proud of yourself. And yeah, I think that's so fun. And yeah, what songs did you sing?
Originals.
Originals. Wow. Fabulous.
All of
Yes.
it.
Okay. Well, when the album comes out, let me know.
Thank you. Yeah.
When's the next house
Yeah.
concert? We'll fly down to LA for
2 weeks.
that.
2 weeks from now. Come on on. Come on over.
I will be there in a heartbeat. Thank you so much. It's beautiful that you did that. And what a coincidence that
That's what I mean.
we're having this podcast like a couple of days. Was it last night?
The day
No,
after. Yeah, it was
the day
literally last night.
after. And I
Right.
wasn't expecting to talk about singing much at all. You know, my business, it is one of the tools that I use, and it's something that matters a lot to me. Not all of my clients sing, you know, and so yes, I thought it was going to be about, you know, how to, you know, work Simplero or, you know, how to expand my business. I didn't have it. I mean, honestly, I came in with an open heart and an open mind, and I really appreciate the time we spent together. Well worth
Yeah,
it.
me as well. Yeah. Like I really think this is the key that unlocks everything else. And what's so beautiful is like once you clear that mind bug, or even just gets awareness on that mind bug, like all of the what to do and how to do falls into place effortlessly.
I'll take that. Thank you.
Yeah, it truly does. Like for me, this whole event, I was just like, you know what? Mirror can get people there. Once they're there, I got this, right? It's like, I don't have to deal with that shit. He does it brilliantly and he loves it, you know? And there's like just all these other people who've come into my life lately as I have cleared another level of my mind bugs over the past few months. And it's just like, it's just watching the whole thing to orchestrate itself. I don't freaking do anything for it. It just comes together.
You know, I
It's
think
an
the people who were at that concert are lucky. When we do something like that, it's out of our comfort zone. It's out of our kind of what we used to identify as, and it's so inspiring. And even, you know, people there don't want to sing, but they want to do something else that's a bit out of the box. Seeing you do that, I'm sure will help them feel freer and have more courage to move forward for themselves. That's a good thing. No, thank you
Thank
so much.
you. And right back at you.
Very cool.
Yeah,
Yeah, I feel like I should sing a song now.
do it,
Gosh. Okay. Sing me a song of a lass that is gone. Say, could that lass be I? Merry of soul, she sailed on a day over the sea to sky. Billow and breeze, island and seas, mountains of rain and sun. All that was good, all that was fair, all that was me is gone. Sing me a song of a lass that is gone. Say, could that lass be I? Merry of soul, she sailed on a day over the sea to sky.
it's beautiful.
That was one of my audition pieces for my audition, so people will
Amazing.
recognize it from the Outlander show.
All right.
Scottish traditional tune with lyrics, I guess, Brer MacCreary. He's a composer who did the music for Outlander and Battlestar Galactica.
All right, that one I've heard of.
Did you know that the theme music for Battlestar Galactica is actually a Hindu Sanskrit mantra? Interesting tidbit.
Also know nothing about Battlestar Galactica, so I
You can
just heard
edit that piece
the
out if you want. But
title.
look, thanks so much.
Yeah, thank you. You're beautiful. Really appreciate you. Really excited to see where you go with this. Keep me posted. Send me an email.
I'll send you an email. Yeah, thanks
Yeah.
to everyone who's listened as well. Be brave, we tell them all. You have
Yeah.
to be brave, and sometimes the doing of the thing gets you quite far. But yeah, this idea of fixing the little mind bug, well, that's going to be a game changer, I feel. So thank you.
My pleasure. All right.
And
Thank
good
you.
luck with all of your music.
Thank you. Yeah, I'm gonna do this. I'm gonna do this a lot more now.
Good.
Yeah. Now I got it. Record it, everything. We're gonna do some more here and I'm gonna take it on the road.
Yay.
Yeah. Sweet. Thank you so much again for being here today.